By the way, I'm not Raymond Crocker, okay? Just in case some of you were not listening, I'm not Raymond Crocker, but I am the spare tire of Raymond Crocker. In Irian, I used to do this type of job. They call me Ban Serap. It means spare tire. You know, every time when somebody's absent or somebody quits, you know, didn't want to preach anymore, then buddy, you will feel in the pulpit. And they don't like me most of the time because my language is not good, because I learn from the markets and all that, you know. I don't go to proper formal education for the language. Most missionaries go to Bandung, but I went straight to the field, and I just go study at night, read newspapers, and then in the morning I teach them because they need teachers. So I do that, and praise the Lord, because most of my students are stupid, you know, and stupid in the sense their language was very bad. They are from the hills, the mountains, and they could hardly speak Indonesian. And so, you know, I had the privilege to teach them, so I also learned faster than them. So, you know, that encourages me that I'm not left behind, you know, because my students are even further behind. And so that is some way to encourage me to keep on going, learning the language. So Brother E's ability in linguistic ability in the Indonesian language is from marketplace. University of this market, that market, that market. I go about 5 markets. You know, 5 different markets. And one of the markets is the dirtiest place in the world. You know, one of these markets is really the dirtiest place in the world. They cut everything and they throw on the floor, the guts and all the fish, you know. And you can walk and slush here, slush there, you know. That kind of market. I've never seen that kind of market before, but, you know. Although, as a child, I go to all the dirty places, you know. Singapore, in my time, it's not so nice, you know. You go to the market and, oh my, it's one kind of wet market. But this one tops it all. They have everything. And they sleep there. That's where they reside. Those that do the fishing and mongering and all that. So that's where I learned my Indonesian. So if you go to Papua and people say, oh, you ask, what about Eddie E? Pak Eddie itu, bagaimana bahasanya? Then they will say, luar biasa. You know what luar biasa means? It's a nice way to say that he's terrible, you know. Out of the ordinary. Nice way to say out of the ordinary. This morning, as I will fulfill my responsibility, I like to be able to encourage each and every one of you, those that have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. We got a missions conference coming up. So you need to be encouraged. And those of you that perhaps you come here for the first time and you have never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I like this morning to be able to encourage you to take Him as your Savior. As I show you the illustration here of the life of a man in the Old Testament. And his name is Job. Okay, not Job, but Job. Okay, and Job in chapter 19. If you got your scriptures here, you can turn to, sorry, I have to change here and there. Sometimes I have a tendency to wear 2 glasses at the same time. This is a real blessing. for me to be able to have this place, this pulpit. You know? Do you know this is a pulpit? Some of you don't even know, huh? This is a pulpit, but is it real wood or just plastic? Is it real wood? Okay, good. Because in the days of old, you know, the word of God is preached from the pulpit. And the pulpit stands above everybody's head. And the word of God is placed just like I do here. As you can see here in, I'll just read you real quick verse here. In Nehemiah chapter 8, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And then he continues to say, and Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street was before the water gate in the morning until midday, because before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And then in verse 4 says, and Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood. See, that's where the word pulpit we first see. A pulpit of wood. Ezra was not really a very tall fella, but when he stands and the word of God is above everybody's head, he begins to read it. Not that there's magical power, but in those days there was great respect for God's word. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood the rest of the people, Mattaniah and Shemaiah and Naiah and Uriah and Hilkiah, Masaiah on his right hand and on his left hand, Padiah and Mishael and Micaiah and Hashum and Hashbandana, Zechariah and Meshullam. So the word of God is put forward and read. And that's how it is. In some churches, you find that people also, when they read the word of God, they all stand. Not being legalistic or anything like that, but it's so wonderful to be able to have full respect of God's holy word. Not that we worship the word in this sense, but that we have respect for God's word. So don't put your Bible here and there anyhow. You know, I see some of you, you put your Bible underneath this, underneath that. It's God's word. And we ought to do justice to God's word properly. This morning we look unto Job, in Job chapter 19. And we like to see, I like to introduce you to a wonderful friend, a true friend. You have friends? All of you? You have friends, right? How many friends, how many times did your friend turn around and do something you didn't like? How many times your friend failed you? Many times, right? I could say many times even the best of friends sometimes fail us. But I'd like to recommend this morning to you a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. A friend that never disappoints. A friend that is all the same your redeemer, your kinsman, your avenger, your vindicator, and all. He is everything to you. Why do I say that? Very simply because God's word put it very clearly. In Job 19 and verse 25, the Bible says, "For I know that my Redeemer, my friend, my goal," the Hebrew word is goal, or goel, "liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day of the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not other, another, though my reins be consumed within me." And he continues to tell us what Job has said. Job has gone through very, very difficult times. Job was a perfect example of a good Christian. But Job lived very, very much earlier than we can ever imagine. He has a character that was perfect. He was upright. He feared God. He eschewed evil. He don't chew evil. He eschewed evil. It means when evil is not near, far away even, he can feel it. And he turn away from evil. He do not wait until evil is at the doorstep. He does not dance around, you know, the fence or the wall between evil and good. He doesn't do that. When everything was far away, evil was far away, he turns around the opposite direction. That's what eschewed means in the old English language. He was a very wealthy person. You can never imagine how wealthy he is. Yeah? Even much more than all these others that claim to be wealthy but end up to be crooks. Nowadays, you find a lot of them. Yeah? And then he was a very focused person. You know, in Job's days, you know, people got the message of God's word. It's very little. The percentage is very little if anybody gets it. It's not like today you go and outside and then you give tracts and then you visit people and then, you know, you tell them of God's word, you know, go through the Romans road or whatever it is. It's not like that. In Job's days, you know, somebody said it, even, you know, out of 1,000 or 10,000, get one opportunity, people to hear about the truth, about the Savior, about the Redeemer. It was very difficult. But yet Job was a good witness because he calls the Savior his friend, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And this morning I'd like to recommend you, if you have not taken this Lord Jesus as your friend, take him this morning. Why so? Let me tell you, first of all, that word goal of friend means several things. He is firstly your kinsman. He's your kinsman. He is the nearest akin of all. No kinsman is so near as Jesus is to you. And if you have trusted in the Lord, that's how close Jesus is to you. Even though you may not value that much, but that's how close he is to you. And he does it not because he has to, but he wants to. It's strictly voluntary. Call what may, he loves you. He cares for you. It was not forced upon. It was strictly voluntary. It is his choice. Therefore, it is more than a brother. Brothers, you know, they are born into adversities. Brothers always quarrel here and there, argue here and there. You know, they are not always the best. But this one is sticketh closer than a brother. much, much better. He's not ashamed to own it. Jesus is never ashamed to own you. He's not ashamed to call us brethren. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12. Matthew chapter 28, verse 10. You know, I've read articles on... I'm sorry. Brother Jerick, you're going to give me the warning, right? Okay. Okay. Just discreetly, okay? Don't let other people know. But he's going to give me the warning to quit, okay? So I'll look out for him. I read an article and I saw some documentaries. And I see that, you know, in a certain group of individuals, or nationalities, or what you call them, yeah, ethnic groups, that, you know, the old people would work very hard, to put their children through all kinds of, you know, better education, better life, everything. They sacrifice everything until the point they have nothing left, you know. And then when the kids get older and have their own family, not all of them, but many of them left the old folks. And the old folks had pride. They wouldn't go back and ask for anything. They find it's very degrading and it's their responsibility to give their all. And so what they do is they live on their own. Alone sometimes, both. You know, they do all kinds of things. No house, even they take cardboards, put together and live that kind of life. No, because they didn't want their kids to come and visit them even if, because it would be shame. And they live that way. And the kids live them alone. And they die alone. It's a very sad article and a very sad documentary. Because I think Chinese people also behave that way. In some quarters, there is a very little filial piety. Especially when times become modern. But as I read the article, I see, wow, this is very, very sad. There's a lack of kinship. It's just like you take care of me, then I'm okay, then that's it, you're history. Now if you have children and you sacrifice everything, and that's how your children react, maybe you would go up and buy a gun and shoot them, or something like that. I don't know, you know? I wouldn't. But there's a lack of kinship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Like Job was saying, there is no such thing. This is an eternal friend. It's like Romans chapter 8 verse 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of God? That's why he is our kinsman. That's why Job said in that 25th verse, he is our kinsman. This friend, this goal is a kinsman, a faithful kinsman. Then secondly, that term kinsman is used, but there's another term also used for that good friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's a vindicator. He's our lawyer. He's our advocate. That's the other meaning of that word. Here Job finds that every argument justified God. Even in his sufferings, he said God is justified. God could not leave his servant under slander. Therefore he died undefended, and years passed, so the worms consumed his body. But the Bible says, yet He will rise up and vindicate for us. He will not only let us die in shame, but He will vindicate for us. He would rise and take away all the malignant, injured things that Job has experienced, Job said, and He will clear us of all accounts. That's the kind of friend you have. Never leave you, nor forsake you. You know, I like that kind of friend. And you can have that friend in Jesus Christ. You know? You don't have that kind of friend, my friend. You know, I have many friends. And some of my friends, FRIENDS, you know, I know them from National Service. And sometimes they are even better than the Christian friends I have. They would stick up their right arm and lose their right leg or right arm. Whereas my Christian friend would not do that. You see? But this friend is a vindicator. He will be our kinsman, the closest, and He will set everything right. Every false charge for our souls, He will set it right. He shall defend us every single jest. For he that believeth in Him shall not be ashamed and be confounded. That's the scriptures. He shall clear us of all charges as He bare our sins. Even in the becoming our righteousness, He justifies us. Even as we are sinners. My friend, this morning, you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you're a sinner, bound for hell. But even with that on record, He will clear you and set you on the right path. How wonderful it is. You never have a friend like that. Never. Except in the Lord Jesus Christ. He becomes our righteousness, justifying us. He stands in our place. He shall rebuke all accusation of Satan. And He had paid the price for your souls. If you have not trusted in the Lord, He still has paid it for you. So why don't you take that offer, even this morning, and trust in Him? He's your vindicator. And you Christians, you ought to take Him more seriously. You ought to value Him much more than what you value Him today. Don't put Him on the sideline. Don't give Him the crumbs. He deserves the cream, not the crumbs. And then third definition of gold is He's your redeemer. Indonesia, they call it penebus. He is our redeemer. You know, if a person fell into debt and was sold into slavery because of his debt, his redeemer will come and redeem him. Pay for his debt. And therefore, the term redeemer is used. Now that's what Jesus have done for you and for me. He's your redeemer. He paid the price of His person from bondage at Calvary's cross. He paid the price of His lost estates, privileges, and joy. From the hand of the enemy, He redeemed us both by price and power. The price of sin, the wages of sin is death. He redeemed us from that. And He also redeemed us from the power of sin, that we no longer can succumb to sin, have no choice, but we have a choice. We cannot sin if we don't want to. But before this Redeemer, we have no choice. Now the Redeemer has paid the price. We have a choice. And the choice is take Him on as your Redeemer, as your Vindicator, as your fourthly Avenger. You know, God says, you know, avenge not. Right? You can't avenge, right? Right or not? Some of you don't believe that because you are full of vengeance. You say, nah, Brother E, I don't revenge. I just get even. That's the same thing, right? You get even. But he is our avenger. That's why I, you know, in Irian, I used to tell them, you guys are a bunch of crooks, you know. I tell them right in the face. And of course, not in English, bunch of crooks. Over there, you call them kuchingara. They will smile at you. It's like a fox, you know. They say you're a fox. They'll smile at you. But if you call them crocodile, you know, they will be very upset. But I usually tell them, you're a kuchingara. Yeah, you always like to tipu me here and there. But I told them, you better watch out. Because the one behind me is the big one. You cheat me, you cheat him. And he gets even, although I don't. So you be watchful. Yeah? I do that because over there the people are always very scared of judgment. You know, they believe in judgment. Quick justice. So I said, you watch out. You walk on the streets, one of these days the car will knock you down. You hide in the fields, in the rocks, the lightning will strike you dead. So don't play around with God's servant because you are playing around with God. He is our avenger. As if a man was slain by misadventure in the Old Testament, the goal or the friend, or the avenger, will go and pursue the one who has slain him and will avenge his death. That is the avenger's duty. And so, our Redeemer, our Vindicator, our kinsman, is also our avenger. That's why God says, avenge not. Because anything you do like revenge is wrong. But I can do that. I am God. So you see, why not take him on? Why not trust in him? Why not trust in a friend that never fails? You know? He never fails. You trust in something that fails, what's the point? So Job, in what he said here, is very simple. He said, you have a friend. And this friend is your Redeemer. He's your kinsman. He's your avenger. And so forth. Then you look at the case of Job. Secondly, Job had lost everything. In this story, he had lost everything. His children, his property, his wife, everything is gone. And the only thing that left was his Redeemer. And he hangs on today. And he accepts him as such, leaving himself free. He is my protector. I will cling to him forever. The friends of Job came and said, you're wasting your time. Probably you've seen, oh, your friend will not help you and so forth. But no. Job says, he shall be my only hope in life and in death. He says, even if I rot and all, he will still remember me and he will vindicate for me. My Redeemer, he is the one. Christ took our nature of the seed of Abraham and became man, so Job had something real and valuable left even when he had lost everything. You say it's impossible. No such thing can happen and a man can endure such a thing. Well, man cannot endure such a thing except he had a friend, a goal like Jesus Christ. Then can he endure. Then can he be able to stand. No, me and my family, we cannot stand. We cannot live all these years and able to be ministering there on our own strength. Not possible. One day you go and see what I've seen and experience some of those things. Not possible. You know? But it was possible and is possible with the Lord. Because He's my friend. He's one that sticketh closer than a brother. Because if you go there, to such places, or anywhere that God called you to go, to serve Him, you must go with Him. It's His strength that makes the thing work. It's not possible by our own strength, because He's our kinsman redeemer. Then you look at the third thing, Job has a living kinsman. My redeemer liveth forever. This friend, this kinsman, this redeemer, this vindicator, this avenger is eternal. It's eternal. It's forever. And Job claimed this great Lord as ever living. And we do. He says, our Redeemer lives. Not like some others. Their gods are no more. Their gods are dead and cannot do any other thing. But our Vindicator abides in the power of an endless life. That's what Job says. Whom I see for myself and my eyes shall behold, and not other, though my reins be consumed within me. But ye should say, why persecutest we him? And so forth. Job claim upon it, and live upon it, and readily die upon it. And he said, I want to see his face once more, probably before he goes, that I may see him. Even in death, he sees his Redeemer. Then fourthly, there is absolute certainty. Even when things are unanswered, there is absolute certainty. The word is, I know. Verse 25, I know, for I know. There is certainty. You know, we live in this time that there are many things is uncertain. There are so many things which we think was certain, but then things changes. Right? Some of you maybe, I don't know, cryptocurrency is a millionaire at one time. And then suddenly the bubble burst. You know? Even one of our ministers said that, you know, you should do that. Suddenly the thing go bust. I don't know if there's anybody here. You know? And many other things that we thought could never happen, but happened. For Job, there's no uncertainties in his Savior. Everything may be questionable, but not in his Savior, in his Redeemer. You can do the same, my friend, if you trusted in the same Savior, Vindicator, and Redeemer. Faith is, or should be, strongly persuaded of what it believes. It is the evidence and not a conjecture, not a surmise, but a firm assurance. We should certainly know what we believe. We know that thou art the teacher, as the Bible said in John chapter 3, verse 2. Come from God. Then in John chapter 6, verse 69, we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, we know that we have a building of God. And in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, it says that we shall see him as he is. And then in 1 Corinthians 15, 58, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. All this tells us we have a sure thing in Jesus Christ. There's nothing unsure. But it all requires faith. Not sight, but faith. When faith is taken for real, then sight will come into play. You will see the fulfillment of it. When Paul was shipwrecked, there in the Mediterranean Sea, and everybody thought everybody will die, but the angel of the Lord says no, not a single soul will die. And sure enough, whether they float, they sink, or they cling on some styrofoam or whatever it is, everybody live, because God has promised. And so let me ask you, have you this great knowledge of this wonderful Redeemer, this wonderful Vindicator, this wonderful friend that sticketh closer than a brother, just like Job? Do you act in accordance with such an assurance? Will you not at this hour devote and adore your loving kinsman? You are Christians. How much do you adore your kinsman Redeemer? How much do you value him? By living your life according to your wants or according to his direction? It's not always fun to live a life that is serious, you know, and doing the things that are all written here for us to follow. It's not always fun. But the right things are not always fun. In its character. And character is what God sees of you and me. Other people will look at you and they see your personality. And you can hide behind that personality. But when God sees, he sees through your heart. And he sees your character. So you cannot hide it from God. God knows. And he will judge according to your character. I'm coming to the end. Make a long story short. Can we, like Job, take upon the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, as our closest and most wonderful friend? Because he never fails us. I encourage you to take him if you have not this morning. And if you have, continue and build more on the relationship. Make it better with the Lord that has seen you through so many times over and over again. Even in your failures, in our failures, he has seen fit to forgive us our sins. Can any one of you say you have a friend sitting next to you or whatever it is, even your family members, just like Jesus Christ would do? I don't think so at all. There's nobody like Jesus Christ. Nobody. So let us be encouraged to take him on and trust in him and continue to be a blessing to others.